This is the NPR News Update for Monday, July 7th. I'm Perry Finelli. On the podcast today, Minnesota's economy is expected to be a major campaign issue in this year's governor's race. Thousands of Minnesota residents are finding something extra in their drinking water, harmful nitrates. The State Department of Natural Resources is seeking input on how to regulate development along the 72-mile Mississippi River corridor in the Twin Cities Metro. And Target's smallest store ever will open this month near the University of Minnesota. The State Patrol says a 31-year-old Golden Valley man fell asleep at the wheel before hitting a State Patrol squad car in Minnetonka yesterday morning. Tim Nelson has more.
The patrol says the trooper was driving westbound on Red Circle Drive and was turning onto Shady Oak Road when a Ford Explorer ran a red light and hit the driver's side of the squad car. The driver told authorities he fell asleep. Alcohol wasn't believed to be a factor. Authorities said witnesses confirmed the SUV had gone through the red light. The driver suffered non-life-threatening injuries and the trooper wasn't hurt. The crash follows another collision with a State Patrol squad on Friday when a car pulled out in front of a trooper responding to an accident in Cannon Falls. The squad car broadsided the car, killing Norman and Geneva Scott, both in their late 70s. The trooper was hurt seriously in that crash, but his injuries are believed to be non-life-threatening. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The state's economy is expected to be a major campaign issue in this year's governor's race. DFL Governor Mark Dayton has been touting recent job growth, a signal he thinks the latest economic news will help him get reelected. However, his Republican opponents are working to counter the governor by suggesting a few troubling trends. Tom Scheck reports.
The state's unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in 7 years, and in many other categories, the state's economy is doing better than the national economy. Governor Dayton says the credit for that should go to Minnesota businesses and workers.
Our work isn't done, but my goodness, we had 154,000 more jobs in Minnesota than when I took office. And, you know, that growth continues, and as I said, Twin Cities is the lowest unemployment rate of any major metropolitan area in the country. So we're doing some things right. We're doing a lot of things right.
Several economists agree Minnesota's economy has gained strength. University of Minnesota economist Tom Stinson says Dayton has benefited from timing. He took office in 2011 when the state and nation started crawling out of the Great Recession. Still, Stinson says Dayton deserves some credit for an economy he describes as strong.
Governors get blamed for bad economy when it's not their fault. And so we have to give them a little bit of latitude in taking credit for an economy that's doing reasonably well.
But Dayton's Republican opponents say the state's economy should be doing better.
We've lost four Fortune 500 headquarters during Dayton's term.
Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson says Medtronic, Nash Finch, Pepsi Americas, and Alliant Tech Systems are no longer on Minnesota's Fortune 500 list. But there are other factors at play. Nash Finch was acquired last year as fierce competition continued to take a toll on traditional grocers. Medtronic will be domiciled in Ireland for tax purposes, but the company says it will add jobs in Minnesota. Pepsi Americas was acquired by Pepsi for strategic reasons before Dayton took office, and defense contractor Alliant Tech Systems moved to the Washington, D.C. area to be closer to its customer base. Still, Johnson says losing those company headquarters is a problem.
If we are seeing our current big businesses starting to consider doing business elsewhere and we're not creating new ones, we might not notice that next month, but we are going to notice that in 5 or 10 years, and we're going to notice it really dramatically.
Economist Tom Stinson says losing a company's headquarters isn't a major concern as long as jobs stay in Minnesota. But economist Lewis Johnston says the Fortune 500 list could provide an important signal.
It could be telling us something about innovation in Minnesota if we don't have a new company like United Healthcare or Best Buy on the horizon that's growing really rapidly and generating a lot of job growth. That could be the canary in the coal mine.
Minnesota has lost 6 Fortune 500 headquarters over the past 10 years, 3 under Dayton, including Medtronic, and 3 under Republican Tim Pawlenty. Other firms have joined the list through growth or other factors, and the state's tally is down by 2 compared to 2004. Other Republican gubernatorial candidates say Minnesotans aren't feeling a stronger economy. Former State Representative Marty Seifert says he's concerned that many people can't find the full-time jobs they want.
There are a lot of people out there working part-time jobs who are struggling. You can throw around statistics all you want, but as I travel the state and I meet with real people, there's a lot of struggle out there.
Seifert, Johnson, State Representative Kurt Zellers, and Orono-based businessman Scott Honor also say Dayton's tax policies will chase businesses from the state and make others reluctant to start up here. Dayton says Minnesota's economy has consistently outperformed the nation's, even though it's been a high tax state for decades. He said he too is concerned about underemployment and thinks education and job training will help. As for the criticism by his Republican opponents, Dayton dismissed it.
They're desperately reaching for whatever they can in the midst of a growing economy.
Dayton and Republicans are likely to continue to quibble over the health of the economy in the coming months. Republicans will determine their party's nominee in the August 12th primary. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Thousands of Minnesota residents are finding something extra in their drinking water, harmful nitrates. The compounds are a common byproduct of nitrogen fertilizers, and at high concentrations can be toxic. Nitrate contamination of groundwater is spreading, and efforts to fight it are growing. However, some critics say the measures underway are too slow and are not forceful enough. Mark Stile has the latest report in our series on groundwater beneath the surface.
For years, rural Dakota County resident Tim Figge had little concern about his household water. He felt safe drinking it straight from the well.
Never gave it a thought.
But that changed 2 years ago when one of his daughters came home for a visit. She was pregnant at the time. Figge knew some of his neighbors were having trouble with rising nitrate levels in their wells. He also knew they could be a health threat for pregnant women and young children. So he decided to have his water checked.
The local creamery does a terrific job. For $12, you can have the water tested for nitrates.
The results were not what he hoped for. They showed unsafe levels of nitrates, a groundwater pollutant that comes from several sources. They occur naturally in the soil as part of the growth and decomposition of crops. But farmers also contribute to groundwater contamination through the nitrogen fertilizer they apply in crop fields. When Figge got the test results for his well, he decided to buy bottled water for his daughter's visit. The experience, though, got him wondering why groundwater nitrate levels were increasing in his neighborhood a few miles south of Hastings. Outside in his yard, Figge digs up a shovelful of soil.
You can feel it, that it's really sandy. And that's the problem.
Because the soil is sandy, surface water drains quickly underground. Along the way, the water picks up nitrates, carrying them into the aquifers below that make up Figge's drinking water supply. Denser soils tend to hold back nitrates, so they're less likely to reach water supplies. But in this area, sandy soil is common, and that's leading to a growing spate of drinking water problems. Last summer, Dakota County tested more than 700 wells.
Unfortunately, the results were much worse than we were expecting.
Jill Triscott is Dakota County's groundwater protection supervisor. She says about a third of the tested wells had nitrate levels that are unsafe.
Where it's at such a high level that it's causing problems, it does seem to be very strongly associated with row crops.
The Minnesota Department of Agriculture estimates about 280 townships, more than 10% of the state's land area, have problems with nitrates in groundwater. The department is the lead agency responsible for regulating nitrates. The agency's oversight includes nitrogen fertilizer and the harmful pollutants the fertilizer helps generate. But critics accuse the agency of falling down on the job. Chris Siegford with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy says the agency has been ineffective.
Unfortunately, we have a bigger environmental problem than we had a quarter of a century ago.
Siegford points to State Agriculture Department nitrate monitoring data spanning more than a quarter century. The department detected nitrates in groundwater at growing rates in 6 of 7 testing regions during that time span. In those 6 regions combined, the department's testing found nitrates in 9 of 10 water samples during this century, up from just 2/3 of samples before 2000. Unsafe nitrate concentrations increased at a higher rate as well. But while environmental groups and others say that information proves that the nitrates problem is getting worse, the Agriculture Department disagrees. Assistant Commissioner Matt Woolman says at most the data merely suggests a worsening of this groundwater issue. He says the department's findings are not detailed enough for a definitive conclusion.
Nitrogen in groundwater is a major issue for the state. The data is not deep. There probably is some portions of data that's out there, but there is not comprehensive data.
Conclusive or not, the department's data is fueling a debate over how to solve the nitrates problem. Chris Sigford with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy says the Agriculture Department's basic policy has failed. She says the agency has only tried to persuade farmers to voluntarily change their practices.
It's time to move from purely voluntary to regulatory, to develop some practices that actually work and require them to be employed in certain regions of the state.
Sigford says for 25 years, the Agriculture Department has refused to use its legal authority to require farmers to make changes to limit nitrates in groundwater. Assistant Agriculture Commissioner Woolman acknowledges the department has not used that authority even once.
I'm not aware of one under the Groundwater Protection Act.
Woolman says lack of funding for enforcement is a key problem. But he also says it's not clear why nitrate levels have risen, so mandating changes might not be the right solution. Nitrates do exist naturally in soil, whether fertilizer is applied or not. Still, Woolman says the Agriculture Department plans to be more aggressive in the future. He says that may include forcing some farmers to change.
We could restrict how much nitrogen is applied. We could restrict the timing, the source, the placement of those products. We could also require certain best management practices be put in place.
To get a better handle on the problem, Woolman says the department is planning to test 70,000 wells across the state for nitrate contamination. But while the Ag Department tests, residents are paying the cost to remove the nitrates found in private wells and public water supplies. Hastings, St. Peter, Lincoln Pipestone Rural Water, and other public and private entities have spent tens of millions of dollars to make water safe to drink. Most often, consumers pay the cost of the cleanup through higher water bills. Minnesota farmers are closely following the debate over how best to manage nitrates. No one knows exactly how widespread the practice is, but many farmers are already taking action to lower nitrates. Dean Toflin is one.
I think it's a very important issue.
Toflin farms near Laverne in southwest Minnesota. He relies on precision to help reduce nitrate runoff from his fields into water supplies. He tests the soil on his farm regularly to help him figure exactly how much fertilizer his crop needs.
Give the crop just enough nitrogen to make a good yield, but not too much, or we could lose it.
Toflin says that leaves less unabsorbed nitrates that can pollute water. He also uses products that delay the conversion of nitrogen fertilizer into nitrates, which also reduces potential pollution. Toflin says his strategy can also boost profits by reducing the amount of money he spends on fertilizer.
It's a win-win in our case.
If more farmers adopt Toflin's approach, it could be good news for homeowners like Tim Figge in Dakota County. He spent about $700 for a system to reduce the nitrates in his well water to levels safe for drinking. Figge says his main goal in speaking out about nitrates is to alert others that their wells may be polluted.
We're edging towards the precipice right now with high, high levels of nitrates that need to be addressed.
The message Figge wants to send: get your well water tested. Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio News, Dakota County.
This is the NPR News Update. The Minneapolis Police Department is hoping the public will help officers spot any possible terrorist activity while the city hosts the Major League Baseball All-Star Game later this month. The department is releasing a video today intended to teach citizens how to recognize behaviors that could signal terrorist acts. Martin Moreland reports.
Minneapolis police spokesman Scott Soroka says the video expounds on the message of see something, say something.
Things that you may notice that seem a little bit out of the ordinary, and the video kind of takes you through some of those indicators.
The video, which will be posted online, was produced in cooperation with the nonprofit Counterterrorism Education Learning Lab. A video the group produced for use in Colorado offers tips on how to recognize 8 signs of terrorism, from the surveillance of a possible target to the stockpiling of weapons. The All-Star Game is July 15th. Martin Moylan, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources is seeking input on how to regulate development along the 72-mile Mississippi River corridor in the Twin Cities Metro. Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
The DNR says the proposed rules are designed to protect the river corridor. The agency last tried to update the rules in 2011, but abandoned the plan amid controversy. The legislature directed DNR officials to try again, but the controversy continues. Matt Kramer is president and CEO of the St. Paul Area Chamber of Commerce. He says the rules could mean existing firms will fall out of compliance, posing problems when they want to expand.
The bank looks at you and goes, your property is in a non-conforming status. Highly likely that any expansion is going to be disputed to a zoning appeals board. And so all of a sudden, your future is dependent on a bunch of people deciding whether or not your property should get a zoning variance or not.
The first of 3 public meetings on the rules will take place next week in Anoka. Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Delays in shipping farm commodities are the focus of a day-long meeting in central Minnesota later this week. Dan Gunderson has more.
Farmers say they've lost millions of dollars in recent months because of long delays in moving crops to market. Railroads experienced large backlogs starting late last year, and they're still trying to catch up. Minnesota Ag Department Trade Representative Christina Connolly says timely transportation is critical for agriculture.
I think this has brought things to a head, and that could be a good thing. I mean, we of course wish the crisis hadn't happened, but it is getting people to talk and pay attention and raise the awareness.
Shippers will push for answers, says Bruce Abbey, executive director of the Midwest Shippers Association.
I want to know, how are they prepared for this coming fall and this winter's shipping season? What do we have in place to try to help keep the communication straight with the industry?
The meeting will be held Thursday in Alexandria. Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio News, Moorhead.
This is the NPR News Update, Minnesota's news on your schedule. Several dozen faculty are leaving Minnesota State University Moorhead as part of a multi-million dollar budget cut. Alex Friedrich has more.
About 24 tenured faculty and more than 36 adjunct professors are on their way out. Spokesman David Wahlberg says Moorhead is also phasing out 5 low-enrollment programs, including American Multicultural Studies and Medical Laboratory Science.
Our enrollment had gone down some 10% since 2010, but the number of faculty members we had remained about the same.
The campus also suffered from years of reductions in state funding. Wahlberg says the personnel cuts helped prevent a $5 million deficit projected for next year. Alex Friedrich, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And finally, Target's smallest store ever will open this month near the University of Minnesota. Martin Moylan reports.
At 20,000 square feet, the Target Express store will be about a sixth of the size of a typical Target store. The relatively tiny Target on Southeast 5th Street opens July 23rd. The retailer says the new store will help the company gain new insights about when, where, and how customers want to be served. Erica Winkles is a Target spokeswoman.
Target's really excited to just open in our hometown market and see how the guest responds. We're excited to sort of learn about how the guest uses the store.
The retailer has opened 8 somewhat downsized city Target stores in Chicago, Los Angeles, and other markets. Walmart has several hundred neighborhood stores of less than 40,000 square feet. Martin Moylan, Minnesota Public Radio News.
That's the NPR News Update for Monday, July 7th. I'm Perry Finelli. Thanks for listening.